You're listening to the RRR podcast.
Welcome to the RRR podcast. We bring you the latest in Toku news, in-depth discussions, and everything else that you could ask for, all with a healthy dose of insanity. So here are your hosts, Shugun Shinobi, Dawson Rider, Jedimon, and Aerosol. Riders, Rangers, and Rambles, Season 5. Ready? Go!
Hello and welcome to RRR Season 5, Episode 14. The moment has finally arrived. Because it's like arrived, but with drive.
Oh my god.
I told you it was terrible.
Yeah, of course it's terrible. It's one of your puns. They're getting worse every week.
Is this what the Fighter Things Club is like? This is why people are leaving.
Anyway.
Can you imagine the first time listeners have, if anybody came in from Goldar and they listened to this episode, all of a sudden we're just whispering?
Speaking of, we had really awesome numbers on an episode and like a lot of like Twitter interaction and everything too, so
I'm just really glad that everyone noticed that he says fuck more than I do.
I don't think he broke my record once though, because mine was like crazy when people were counting it back on the RAM boards.
So anyone that is a new listener listening again, thanks to that interview, hello. If you are a normal listener, yeah.
Yeah, well, whatever. Just go sit in the corner. You're not new.
There's
okay.
Nothing special
so,
about you.
I think that's all I had to say. So, one-ups.
onesies.
Morphicon's in half a week.
This is the prequel to the movie. Except
so
it's like really lame and like nothing leads
that,
into it.
We normally
it's the prequel
record
to the sequel of the movie.
On Wednesdays and Thursdays. And we're going to be there at that time. So I don't know if we're going to actually be able to pull off a live show. Because I'm not sure how to do that.
We're going to stand in front of Mr. S's booth and just do the show.
Better yet,
Shout Factories. Brian all of a sudden walks in front of him. Hello and welcome to Riders, Rangers, and Rambles. I just come in. It's time for a pun. Oh! I'm flailing around. Aerosol's face palming. Kevin's lifting his shirt up behind me. You know you can picture that. You're hysterical. All wearing the R shirts.
Funny.
I just try to do the pose.
I can't believe It's Game for a Pun hasn't been a title yet.
So anyway, wow.
Oh my god.
Okay, now that I can see again.
Brian was laughing so hard he lost vision.
I just lose senses.
Wait, where's
stop breathing? So.
Where's Paul Bettany? I can't find him. I lost him too.
So we are gonna record from our hotel or somewhere.
Really?
We'll record from the Island Grill. That's a good idea.
Yeah. We'll be sitting outside while I'm eating.
Say
like
hello, waitress.
Anyway, the point of this discussion was the fact that there will be a podcast episode next week from Morphicon. Obviously,
oh
we're recording before the convention actually happened.
So we won't have.
We're all kind of backwards and messed up.
Do I break my headset? How does this work?
We'll do something. I'm just gonna. I have my laptop. I'm just gonna hit the record button and go.
We all have to face different directions though, because otherwise it'll be awkward. If possible, be in different rooms. I don't know, like just someone in the lobby, one person in the hallway.
It's also be in the bathroom.
Because I just have to yell from the bathroom. For those of you that don't know, yes, we're doing RR the movie, too.
Yeah, we've never actually recorded anything together.
Yeah, we were going to do it last time, and we just never did. We were going to do, like, a vlog or something, and we just never did. We just recorded the movie instead.
There was a bunch of things we always plan on doing, and we somehow always ended up just eating. Like, we, like... We're like, oh yeah, we forgot to do that while we're sitting there eating fries. That's probably what's gonna happen.
Fault. It's Brian's fault. Let's put it.
Why is it my fault?
I don't know.
Well, there's food involved, and it's just easier to blame you.
Okay. But anyway, outside of that, really haven't gotten a whole lot. I got the Bumblebee Evolution Pack today from Toys R Us. That's exciting.
Oh my god, no it's not.
You're right, it isn't.
I'm always right.
Save the unzipping for next week.
What?
When I can unzip my pants in front of you.
This is why we can't, like, video record the podcast next week. It'll be completely explicit. More explicit, because you'll actually be able to see the penis.
Oh god, we don't have sensors, so.
And it'll be in Dawson's ear.
Ah.
I'm like looking around, seeing if I bought anything, but I don't think I did. So. Tally ho.
Brian wrestled an alligator and tried to explode a goat's mind by glaring at it.
That happened.
The goat wasn't even looking at you.
With a goat.
The goat gave no fucks.
The goat really didn't. It just stared at me like, "Fuck you." So yeah, that happened. I walked around with this snake. She was pretty cool. There was a little baby alligator. Even though he's not a baby, he's 7 years old. He's just small. But they're cool. They're my cousin's husbands. So, like a long chain of exotic animals. Anyway, go.
An exotic relatives. Anyway, speaking of my one-ups. No, nothing honestly too exciting. I got my Oki box. It had a bunch of figures in it. I feel like I found something. Oh, I found those little Super Mega Force 4-inch figures. That was about it for that. I'm still in my Power Rangers rewatch. I started Lost Galaxy, and I'm halfway through Season 7 of Supernatural. I'm hoping to be, like, ready to start 8 by the time I get back from Orphicon. Like, I'll be done with 7 before we leave.
All right, well, we are going to marathon the rest of 8 before we leave, so that,
like,
way...
I might not go because I'm going to go through a Supernatural withdrawal, so... That's what's going to happen.
It'll be okay, Dawson. Mm-hmm.
Dean Grimley. No, it won't.
I'm just going to talk in this voice the entire time for 5 days.
We need all 3 of that crap. Anyway.
Hey, ass butt.
Ass butt? That was amazing. Oh, Cass.
That was one of George's many, many gifts.
That's great. That's how you strike down Lucifer. You just throw a Molotov cocktail at him and say, "Hey, ass butt." Oh, Cass.
George's gifts scare me. No one should have that many.
Your turn, Mishamigos. I'm trying to cram as many Supernatural references into this as possible. Just wait till Power Morphicon when Kevin and I show up as Sam and Dean. We're going to go around the whole convention like that.
The phrase Mishamigos is making me laugh. J squared.
His name's Misha? Misha?
He's such a fuck. So I'm going to be getting my box from Oki from the post office soon. It's got Zero Forms of Ronos, the Bravo and Greed and Lock Seeds, the Daybolt Keys, because I hate myself and having money. Tiger Ranger and AC Bravo, and then I just paid Amy for Build.io, Safari Gal, the Apple Locks, and the Shadowline collection figures. So that's a thing. I bought my plane ticket today, so. As we all are aware from the continuation of last week's part of the saga, the plane ticket was like at, I think it was at $800, something like that. Then it went up some more. It was like $850 or like $900. I'm like, god damn it. I went to go transfer the money out of my savings because I was going to wait for people to pay me some. I was like, well, let me just fucking buy this ticket. That's why it took so fucking long to begin with, is I was waiting for people to pay me for toys, and then they didn't because I didn't want to have to take money out of my savings and then put it back and do all that transferring and have to rely on the computer system. Anyway, so I go to my bank online. I say, hey, I want to do a funds transfer. It won't let me transfer out of my savings into my checking account to pay for fucking plane tickets. I'm like, what the hell? It would do the other way around. I could transfer from my checking to my savings, but it would not let me. I tried for like 2 days. So maybe it's just a system problem, so I'll come back in a few hours. Well, I go back this morning. Now, because it's like under a week from the trip date, the one I get away option for the flight there is gone. So now the ticket price is like $1,000.
It's not really funny, but I'm laughing anyway.
And so I call up my bank and I'm like, because I sent them a message through the online banking and they never got back to me because they're fucks. I call them up on the phone. I go through the whole identity verification process so they know it's actually me. I'm like, all right, look, I'm trying to get money out of my savings, transfer online to my checking account. I want to fucking take a vacation. And they're like, oh, well, the reason you can't do that is because you haven't used the account in a while, so it's inactive. Yeah, it's a savings account. That's the idea. The whole idea of a savings account is you just don't go into it every third day or so. Like, you haven't used it in a while. What the fuck?
How exactly do you use a savings account? Like, you save money with it. That's the point.
Exactly. But, oh, you didn't use it in a while. Like, yeah, I'd hope not. So they made it inactive. She's like, well, I can do it over the phone and transfer the money over the phone, and it'll make it active again. I'm like, well, fuck you too, bitch. But I got my plane ticket, so that's fine. I'm going now. Definitely. I have a plane ticket and a con ticket. I beat Epic Mickey, Power of Illusion. That was pretty fun. I enjoyed it because I played, like, the Mickey games on the SNES and stuff, and so it was just...
So did I, but I still didn't like it.
I liked it. I don't understand what you didn't like about it. It was fun. You go around, you find Disney characters in the levels, and then you do quests for them to find their friends, and... Like, you draw on the touchscreen. It was really fun. You get to shoot paint at people, and...
Oh. I would have rather just played one of the SNES games.
Well, you are a fucker who doesn't know how to have fun.
Okay.
I downloaded Heracross and Pinsir. That's a thing. And I got a Pokeball pattern Vivillon.
Pokerball.
Pokerball. Pokerballs. I don't think I did anything else worthwhile. Probably killed a man or two, but the dog ate Orion. I have to get a new one. She destroyed the boxes for a couple of my WFCs and the box for my movie set Disc Animals, but the actual toys themselves were fine. Like, the Disc Animals were actually, like, spread out on the floor in different spots, completely untouched. Cyclone Joker WFC was completely out of the box, unharmed. Like, I don't understand how it works. She then the stack of all this, you know how Oki sends movie posters to you? Mm-hmm. Those are all over the floor, but they're not ripped up. like
she ripped up, not made of cardboard.
Like, she ripped up other stuff for other people, like, in the house, but, like, my stuff did not get destroyed. Lucario's box is just completely dismembered. I might tape it back together, see if I can do that kind of thing. But, so I don't know. I don't understand how that works, but my stuff is safe. Go aerosol my throat. I'm trying to make my throat better. It's not working.
So how about that news?
JDF's a fuck.
You've got, like, drive stuff.
Yeah.
Finally, sort of. Shut the traditional up and drive. Crappy pictures.
Shut up and drive.
We have two pictures.
Yeah, like, we have a very glary picture of the actual suit, and then we just have a picture of the toy.
Like, we will throw a party the day our first writer pictures are just clear, nice pictures that you can get a vibe off of.
Like, from what we can see of it, I mean, the suit picture itself is the glary picture, so that's really kind of obnoxious. But, I mean, looking at the TK type speed toy, I like the suit from what
he's
we see of
G-Deno
it.
He's got G-Deno spoiler on his head.
Where's the Kari one, though? TK and Kari. You know what? Hashtag Team Davis.
I thought you were saying Kari as in like,
oh,
you know,
like
a car.
No.
Me too. I'm sorry. I was really confused and like.
Bro, do
anyway,
you mean Kari?
I like the design from what we see.
Mm-hmm.
We'll have to see the other forms too, but.
Penis.
Well, okay. Anyone else like it?
Yeah, I like that he's red. Like I said that on my Ask FM. Like no, it really is. But we haven't had like a main writer just be red like that in a while. Like you know, Kabuto was a lot of red on him. Ryuki
yeah, last year. Wizard.
Wizard didn't have a lot. Wizard's chest piece was red, and the inside of his cloak.
What about Aldrag? Wizard.
No,
red.
I mean, I'm talking red. About like. The main fuck form.
The main fuck. He's still red.
Mm. Not like I like. Yeah.
Kevin likes it super red.
He reminds me of Draft Redder.
Like, I Kevin is sucking out a sucker, and I can tell.
No,
but,
it's the cough drop, but thanks.
Oh.
My throat hurts, so.
But I still, like, really can't get, like, any form of, like, concrete opinion about it. I don't know what it is. Like, they're crappy little pictures for it. So it's like, I still see it, and I just get, like, this blank expression on my face. And I'm like, I can't think of anything.
Draft Redder, to answer Brian's question, or non-question, really, Draft Redder is a metal hero.
Drag Redder?
Sea Draft.
It's from Dragonite.
No, Draft Redder.
It's like, together we'll be stronger. Rawr.
He's
Matt Mullins hasn't canceled yet.
Together
that's
we
good.
Can fight the fight.
He is the key that Marvelous used in the movie.
Matt Mullins?
Yes,
legendary Ranger mode, Matt Mullins.
Matt Mullins!
Can you imagine if we started doing weird stuff like Sentai was? Legendary Ranger mode, Beetleborg! Legendary Ranger mode, a VR Trooper. Those aren't Rangers, but keys.
Legendary Ranger mode, Mystic Knights.
Yes.
I love it. All of a sudden, Brian's like, well, hold on now.
That I can get behind. One thing I wanted to ask. Now, this is just my opinion on the matter, but...
Your opinion?
Yes. This, like, I don't have the same sort of hype for Drive that I normally would. Because it just... Nothing beats that initial...
The original?
Oh. Information. Like, when you get the pictures from the press conference and all the information and then the toy catalogs, like, within a span of a couple of days. And it's kind of like a little... kind of hype fest thing. That's a weird term.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
Like, it's just that feeling isn't there because we haven't gotten a whole lot. And the toy catalogs we did get, like, were so not helpful at all.
Yeah.
And, I mean, this glossy shot here and then a magazine scan of a toy is our first shots of the suit. And it's such a weird year, and it doesn't have that same sort of hypey feel I normally get when a new rider comes out, even if
yeah, I
end up hating him like Forze. Even for Forze, I had a hype, just because it's that, like, sense of excitement about something new, and...
Because you always get the clear suit pick from the stage, and, like, the whole cast on there, and I get to call Ankh Fruit Roll-Up Arm, and... I know what you mean, like, there's this... It's sort of like when you find out, or when you're younger, what the new Power Rangers would be, or what the new Sentai is going to be. It's sort of... It doesn't necessarily all happen at the same time, but it's around that same area, and it comes in these chunks where it's like just more exciting instead of like they're trying to release it in the most boring way possible. Like, it's like, let's just give them really boring information and just slide it to them.
Yeah.
End scene.
Like, I don't know. Like, I get what they're doing. Like, the idea is that they want to not all leak out and to, you know, get revealed, I guess, in the traditional, like, it's supposed to be done way or something. But
they're mad that details leaked at a press conference? That seems counterproductive. I can't believe you told what was said here at this press conference. This was supposed to be a secret.
This was supposed to be for us.
I thought we had something special.
But, I mean, I'd like to like it and know more, but I don't know anything about it, man. I still don't know all about the toys that we've seen for, like, 3 weeks now. You know?
The only extent of knowledge I have of the toys is, like, the belt uses infrared. That's about it.
It's got the word red in it, so Kevin's excited.
You're a twat.
Kevin gets annoyed when things aren't red, like GDF gets annoyed when people aren't black belts. Like, he's annoyed at his daughter for not being a black belt. That's where it's going. It's like...
What's amazing is that I'm pretty sure... I was under the impression that Austin was a black belt, so that's fine.
You have to get a real black belt.
Yeah. Real to him, that means you have to go to Rising Sun Karate and...
Are you seeing this, Steve? Money. Get on this. Come on, Tyrannothorus! I thought we got this. Attack him with the lisp. Like, blind him. But Tyrannothorus! The spit goes in his eyes.
Maybe that's the guy Kerrigan was talking about with the lisp.
It's funny, I never noticed that before, but he morphs Tyrannothorus.
Either that or it's Kripke.
So Drive has, like, a tire stuck in him and stuff.
Yeah, I don't know what's up with that. I mean, I know what's up with
like
it
because he's like, he's in a beauty pageant. It's like, I'm
like,
Mr. Tire.
It looks okay in the glossy picture, not that you can really fucking see it. But the toy picture, it like it's protruding so much from that angle that it looks really bad. But the front-on picture that you can't see half of, it doesn't look like it's really protruding all that much, but it is definitely strange. I'm wondering if that's a common thing throughout all the forms, if that like tire sash is... yeah. It's always going to be there with a different color.
I think, because from what I'm... gathering from this little description here is that the tires are interchangeable. Because the toy, the speed type toy, comes with two different tires, and it says that the forms will be exchangeable. So yeah,
you can take them back to the store and be like, I don't want this, give me another one.
Yeah, it's you know, weird.
See, even the stupid magazine thing is...
It's a new gimmick where you return stuff to the store and get your money back. Wait, we didn't think this through. That's probably why they're being so secretive.
Like, it's so vague, I just...
I'm curious to see if the tires sort of either add new forms, which we know he has other forms... Or if some of them have, like, different utilities, like offering up different weapons and stuff like that.
Like, from what I know of the catalog scans, each shift car has an associated tire. And
that'd be so weird.
At least the rim of the I don't know if these tires are full tires or just rims. They keep saying tire, so I assume it's a full tire. I know the rim attaches, at least the rim does, attach to the big car and does, like, weapons and stuff for the car. Now, maybe, like, you pop the tire part off and that becomes a new sash for Drive and then you put the rim on the car. I don't really know. But this is strange.
This is the closest you'll get to me talking about cars. Like, whenever people talk about cars in real life, I'm so bored. They're like, don't you want to learn how to fix your engine? I'm like, my God, that's just chores. You're getting excited about chores.
I'm like, no, I don't want to fix the engine. I know how to put gas in it.
I want to go inside and watch The Office. God. Oh, man. Stuff is boring.
Oh, Dawson, you and your penis.
Ow! I think that's our cue.
Yep, our cue is.
So, what else? Do we have any other news?
The movie got a release date. Power Rangers movie, not just the movie. Finally, a movie just called the movie. We can't believe no one got the rights to the title, the movie. Because we'd like to announce that RR the Movie 2 is coming out July 22nd, 2016. We'll hope there's no competition.
It takes that long for the editing process for Brian.
Still no release date on that Kabuto episode.
Taylor Lautner has been confirmed to be playing the role of Shuquin Shinobi. It's pretty exciting. Liam Neeson is playing somebody.
Hit girl is Kevin.
Yes. I'm going to be played by McLovin. It's always been a dream of mine. It's you.
I am McLovin.
But yeah, outside of that, that's it.
People are like, what are your thoughts on the release date? I'm like, it's definitely a date on the calendar. I can tell you that much. But
what do you think about the release date? Okay.
That'll impact how good the movie's going to be. If it came out in June, it would have been so much better.
God. Well, I got a release, so.
That is certainly a real date. Not February 35th.
I didn't think March 31st existed. Oh, man. So, that's pretty much it. Yep.
It's time for...
We're so discoordinated.
So, JDF is a fuck.
Curse you! Curse you, JDF! Curse you!
Oh, goddammit.
No! Stop trying to start this! Now it's time for...
Superhero time. Tokija Shupa Shinko Kamen Rider Gaim. At least it wasn't the Beat Riders.
Can we get the clip of the Magna Defender saying that there permanently?
At least it wasn't the Beat Riders.
At least it wasn't the Beat Fighters. I was like, no.
Pushes up nerd glasses.
So for once, we can finally go into, at least I can, go into this saying, Tokija was really good.
I did enjoy it this week. And I can tell because I wasn't in like agonizing pain from watching at normal speed. Because normally it feels like I'm standing still. But this week was pretty good. I'm glad that Greta's gone because I could not stand to look at her a minute longer in her diaper wedding dress. And how disturbing is her face? Like, in her death scene, when she's looking up at Swartz, like, it's just clearly an empty suit. Like, all of the Sentai suits can look really crappy. But this one in particular just looked like it was just sitting there like, bleh! That was the noise it made. I heard it. Like, can you imagine it just sitting there when people walk by it on set? They probably just freak out.
I did like that scene, though, because it's just like this almost confession scene where she's, talking about how she, did things only for herself because, she wanted to be with him. And then all of a sudden, Zed's hand comes shooting out from her.
Explodes.
My
beloved Swartz.
Zed's hand was inside of her.
And then she just like pops out. Blows up, and Zed just like steps out of the what remains of her.
He's so casual about it. He's just like, "Yo."
We got to see his monster suit.
Where the white women
monster
at?
Form.
I really like his monster form. It's
pretty awesome.
It's sleek.
If nothing else, Tokija has some of the best villain designs.
Like, they're really nice.
I do really like them. They're very unique. And I like that. They're not, like, straight up, like, monsters or anything like that. And
you know what's funny is that I keep forgetting that one dude exists. The guy that was getting mad. The guy looks like Piedmon.
Nemo or whatever the fuck his name is.
Finding Nemo.
Nero?
Yeah whatever. Him, like, when he shows up, I'm like, oh, yeah! Like, I have a big comfy couch for him.
It's not like he's not in the show. He's in the show, like, every episode. He just doesn't amount to anything except going... Oh, Zed, I want to suck your dick. That's basically
he just stand
all
there
he did.
He just stands there like, hey, want to go on a tour of the chocolate factory? Because I also look like Willy Wonka. That's, he's like Willy Wonka and Piedmon, but like mushed together with weird goth machine. I don't know.
He's not.
My mind's all over the place now. He is in my mind. He kind of looks like a robotic sort of Willy Wonka. He's got the hat. Don't tell me that if... who's that guy that like sleeps with Johnny Depp all the time? He makes the weird movies. Tim Burton.
Oh my God.
If he made Tokyo Drift, you know Johnny Depp would be playing that part. And all the other parts.
Well, no, because you'd have to have Helena Bonham Carter in there, too.
She can be Greta.
But yeah, I agree that scene was nice, but I had a hard time getting into what Greta was saying just partly because of how emotionless her face was. I mean, her eyes blinked, but they didn't blink during that whole time, so it made it really disturbing. Then they built the new robo through the power of hand-holding.
Yeah, I didn't understand what was up with that or how that works exactly.
I liked the way the scene was structured or shot. I don't know. I liked the scene, like the interplay between the switching between them and their younger selves. I thought was really neat.
Mm-hmm.
But it was a really funny way of like forming the mech. Like they all hold hands and then pick up Akira, and then all of a sudden they pop out of wherever the hell Greta set them with a new transformation. But the scene itself was nice.
Yeah, what upset me about the episode is there was an extended period of time where I had to look at Kagura's face, and that bothered me. I just don't like her. I was also upset that Wagon defeated the enemies on the train.
With spanking.
Like, that was, to me, that was just gross and offensive.
But yeah,
not the
I
spanking,
like
just that she did it. All right.
This stool bit's going to be so good at Morphicon. Go ahead.
No.
Fuck you.
Keep going.
I wasn't going to say anything. I was just laughing at the stool thing because Kevin keep knocking you over. Like, I'm picturing it in my head. I don't have any other points. My main 2 points was about the Greta scene and then about how I liked the scene where they all held hands. That sounds really weird when I say it like that. But,
There's the family thing.
Oh, yeah, they remembered their families.
Okay, they remembered they had a family. Like, I love that that's something they had to remember. Like, I don't know why. I just think it's funny.
Sure, they knew. They just didn't know who they were. And they remember the name of their hometown, so they could Google it now.
Well, they remember the name of the festival.
Oh, that's not the name of the town? Well,
no.
They could still Google the festival. I'm telling you. They could find it.
I don't think they have Google.
They probably just don't know how to use it. They're just like a bunch of our commenters.
They have a server for how to use Google, and then that's what leads to the finale.
The finale
of Tokyo Drift is just them finding a computer.
So. They go on our Tokyo Drift reviews and just go, "Where do you find my hometown?" Please respond.
You know, someone's going to make a Tokyo Ichigo account on YouTube for the sole purpose now, right? I did want to address Super Duper Tokyo Dial, which is an amazing way to translate it.
I love that whole scene because, you know, the conductor's like talking about it, and then all of a sudden, Akira like stands up and corrects him.
Like,
no, it's
no.
Not. It's not Super Duper Tokyo. Oh, it's Super Duper. God damn it!
Super
stupidly
cute.
Long name.
Yeah.
There's a die in it, and I love the little like announcement scroll they have in the back of their cockpit is like, sorry for the inconvenience. It's like going on about how there was an accidental. Name change and stuff like that. It was
an error
really
in her naming.
It was really funny to me because it reminded me of my video because I kept forgetting the die part because it was just so much easier to say it the other way. And people are like, "No, it's Chocho Choki Dio." I'm like, "Well, it's just easier to say. God damn it."
Then the name of their attack was Chocho Tokyo Super Cannon. So it's Super Super Tokyo Super Cannon.
That's even more super than Power Rangers.
See, people are over here bitching about Super Megaforce being an awful title. I mean, just look at that attack name. It's, dare I say, super.
I love those. Like, it never ceases to just sort of make me laugh, those large mecha where they have, like, some sort of skis or, like, roll, and they just kind of... Around. They roll towards it and, like, move their arms, like... Like, I'm gonna get you! As soon as I get over there, you're so dead! Like, it's just so funny.
I got this one commenter on my Build Dio review that was like, well, when you start looking at how the train operates, because the bottom part of the train is treads, which means that it can operate like a train, but it isn't restricted to rails. And then something about the skis let blue and green operate like a train while still moving forward or something. I'm like, what is wrong with you?
Why are you thinking about this?
It's a giant robot that has to roll regardless, so it doesn't matter. Though, does the suit have that back part of basically Build Dio's crotch? Or does it just have two skis?
No, it's got the whole rounded part.
Yeah.
Does it? Okay, I couldn't see from the one angle that I was actually paying really close attention to.
Because I watched when they formed it.
Yeah, I've seen it when it formed. I didn't know if the suit had it or not, though, so I was asking.
But, you know,
okay.
Other than, you know, I think the whole connecting, like, feet thing is kind of silly. But, and it's definitely clusterfucky, but I do like the design of it, actually. Like, it doesn't look too messy. Like, essentially, this looks like the old one, but with shades. So, like, I don't know. I just kind of like it.
It's definitely different, and the suit looks really nice. I really dig the way the suit looks. The toy, I think, has the poor fate of just being really freaking thick, because it has to be the width of each train, whereas the suit really dicks around with how thick each train is. Because, like, the diesel parts on the sides of... The suit are really thin compared to the rest of it. Yeah. And so it looks a lot more streamlined and a lot more nicer looking than the toy ends up. But no, I do like it, to say the least. So that's kind of cool. And that entire bit was pretty fun. There was something I wanted to bring up that I remembered earlier and then forgot. Because I wanted to address robots first.
First of all.
I was going to mention the color changing thing. Because I thought it was actually...
I forgot about that.
Episode. That was super smart. I was really happy about that.
And what was cool was that you, like, as the audience, didn't really even notice it until you started seeing the, like, closer shots of the one on the chest.
Yeah.
Because otherwise it just looks like... You know, all of them fighting.
That was really smart. I love how, or at least I found it humorous, how it cut between, ha, we fooled you because we have a smart plan. And then it cuts to the other four civilians just practically tackling the putties or whatever they are. Whatever, I don't remember the names, I just call them putties. But I just thought that was kind of funny. But yeah, that was really smart. I like when they actually use it for something intelligent like that.
They've been getting better at that, at least.
It's kind of depending on the episode.
Yeah, sometimes it's just really pointless, and then sometimes it's actually smart like this. Like you said, this was a really awesome way of playing on the color-changing aspect that we don't always get, so I like it when that happens.
As frivolous as it can be, I do really like the concept, because it's pretty innovative in just, like, the core idea of it. So,
yeah,
like I wouldn't
said,
mind seeing it be used a lot later.
Like you said, it had more attached to it. The color changing would be a little bit better. We're talking about how good the color change thing was in this episode.
Oh, yeah. I loved how he was all five of them. Like, I just thought that was really interesting. Like, I never thought they were going to do that.
Like how he dropped the trains in the river and had to pick them up.
Because he pulled them all up between his knuckles. He was like, I got bling, son. He's like, you just got fooled. Look at all these. I just got them off CS Toys. Yeah, like that whole gimmick would be really cool to see years later if they actually made a cool use of it, like them all having different suit powers. Mm-hmm. But it's just kind of cool that it's in play.
Yeah, I also, one thing I also liked is that we find out that, what?
Nothing. Keep going.
I don't know what just happened. That was so funny, but I like how we find out that Zed's whole reason for marrying Greta was, like, so that he
to
could absorb
her virginity.
Pretty much. He, yeah.
From
he
the inside.
Her light. Like,
that's how you do it. That's how you do it. But I mean, like, really inside. Like, deep. Oh, God, sorry. Someone just threw a snowball at me. I just...
Flow of August.
I got attacked.
Like, I just love that, like...
By some snowball so in wait, the prog.
Swartz is like, so wait, you knew that was gonna happen? Like, yeah. That bitch crazy. That bitch be cray-cray.
Did you see her eyes?
Schwartz got pwned, speaking of.
Yeah.
But I don't which think is, he's dead.
Which is fairly impressive, given how powerful Schwartz was shown to be earlier on.
Yeah, because the Tokyo Drifters could hardly fight against him a lot of the time.
I mean, obviously he's going to come back, because he's too important of a villain to just
and he
mysteriously
fell into the
kill
water,
off.
So.
And he fell in the river, and we all know that if you fall into a river, then you're okay.
Yeah, I just imagine
you know,
he's going to bump
episode,
into like,
apparently.
Oh, that explains the river.
We brushed upon it earlier, but I just want to say that I like how... They sort of, all of this learning that they've been doing about their recovered memories has kind of amounted to this episode, to where everything kind of ended up being pieced together and actually was important. I mean, it doesn't necessarily redeem any of those episodes because most of them were incredibly boring.
Mm-hmm.
But it's nice that they're kind of piecing all this together in a way that's at least kind of interesting. Like I said, it doesn't make the previous episodes interesting now that you know, but I just like that it's actually amounting to something.
And I really liked the scene, or at least I thought there was some interesting dialogue in the scene where they were remembering their parents about, I think it was Tokati that said, I don't even know if I want to remember, which was kind of a depressing thought. But
I like how when
Wright's like, let's
like,
remember, yay, me forever.
I like how when exactly. They were grabbing Akira, Tokati had to bicycle kick. I don't know what. Like, they're all just floating down, and Tokati's like, he's trying to stay afloat in water.
Tokati, what are you doing?
This is a completely random part, but I don't want to forget it. I loved the line. I can't remember how exactly it was, but it was Akira when he was fighting. And he's like, he said, it was like he said, much like my own life, I just don't care anymore. Or something like that.
That's awesome.
That was really great.
I know, right?
Exactly. That's why I liked it. So I just really liked that. I really love depressing things. It gets me in a good mood.
But yeah, I really like the whole family scene. For starters, it's a fairly quiet scene. It's not really wacky or anything. You just kind of see them walking around through this festival, kind of remembering bits and pieces, and like you as the viewer can kind of start to piece together what it is that they're, you know, remembering. You can kind of eventually figure out, oh yeah, they're thinking about their family, which I thought was really nice, and especially when you see that they finally come to that realization, like, some of them are crying, some of them are holding back tears. I thought it was well done, actually. I thought it was a really nice scene.
It's great because one of my main problems throughout the show was that the characters didn't feel very human. They were all kind of one-dimensional to me. And so it's nice to see some emotion going on, I guess.
They're not supposed to be human, they're children.
I don't know where I was going with that, but I wanted to agree in liking it.
In a really weird way, I don't know if Tokuger will ever touch on this, but having all of your memories removed like that, you kind of forget how to act and how to do stuff. Like, they didn't even know that they had families. You know, they didn't even know that there is something there to miss. So you can kind of understand them acting a little inhuman. I think it would be really awesome if you started to see them acting, you know,
more human.
Yeah, as time goes on, as the more they remember stuff.
If that actually happens, then I take back several things I said about this show early on.
Because, like, now we just a waiting game. Was this all planned, or were those episodes really bad?
That's a completely valid point, though. I mean, I didn't really think about that.
Like, were you supposed to really be like, these people feel inhuman, what's going on? Or were you just supposed to be like, this show is badly written?
Because, you know, that sort of explains why Wright is just not aware of what a dick he can be. Like, that he just kind of bulldozes over people.
No, from the flashbacks we have, it sounds like that's just him, though.
Well, yeah. He's a little pushy especially with Tokati. Like, come on, Tokati, let's go over here and, like, play on the train tracks.
Tokati's like his little bitch. Tokati, let's do this, let's do that. Hey, shut up.
Tokati's like, I think that's a good idea, right? Like, come on, the train tracks will be fun to play on.
I am happy that we finally get a much more significant memory, though. Even if we didn't get the name of the festival, just having them, like, sort of remember their families, even if that's not, like, plot-heavy, it is still a significant moment for the characters. Much more significant than, I had a doll once, or yeah. I was a new kid in school. Like, eh, whatever.
Ben, they've done that, move on.
I like that not all of the memories are kind of happy for them. Because they have mostly been just sort of superfluous happy memories. Like, we live near an ocean. But
we like to climb trees.
But this one was like, you know, I don't even want to call the family part of the memory happy, because some of them kind of weren't happy about it. But it's, you know, somewhat positive. But then you also have this whole, like, creeping darkness thing, which is also obviously a bad memory.
Like, oh, we remember things, but now we know that our town was wiped out by a big dark cloud. Along with all of our families, and apparently not us. Even though I'm sure that'll get explained at some point. It's kind of obvious where they go.
It's kind of like the main plot of, like, why are they alive? If that doesn't get explained, I'll be shocked. But yeah, it was nice to actually at least enjoy an episode this week. We'll see how the rest of the show goes from here. I don't know if it'll be a complete turnaround, because sometimes there'd even be episodes in Forza will be like, oh, that was pretty good, maybe the show will turn around. And then it turned back around the other way. Like, so wait, no, you were going the right way before. Oh, crap, he's going the wrong way again. So it'll be interesting to see.
To its credit, the preview for next week does look interesting. It looks like it's still kind of continuing with this tone that we have here. So I'm looking forward to it.
Remember how Kyuger's previews would make it seem like it was going to be a dumb filler episode, and then it would either be important or, like, super entertaining, like you would never have guessed?
Yeah.
Like, I miss that. But anyway, speaking of Kyuger, Gaim, that works. Both shows we like, they're related. So yeah, Gaim, this week was very strange. Like, even without the break we had with the pacing, I feel like the pacing is really weird, because we talked about in the previous discussions how we had, like, heading towards the base, part one, and then it was, like, part two. And we thought it was going to be a two-parter, but it was just, like, the second part of more. And then now it felt like we took a really weird pit stop to take a dream walk. So it's, like, part 2.5.
So, like, term dream walk.
Like, well, because even without the break, tonally, it just feels weird. Tonal!
I can see what you mean. I think with everything ramping up now, and with us only having 6, maybe 7 episodes left, he probably felt like he needed to fit this episode in somewhere.
Yeah.
Because it does...
And it's not like it felt totally forced.
Yeah. And it lends a lot to the whole I'm turning into an invest thing, so...
Yeah. It, like I said, it's not like it felt totally forced, but it's just, like, the way that it moved, because it felt like this big epic attack, and, like, it was gonna... But then it just keeps getting delayed by side adventures. Yeah, and it was essentially just about him finding out that he was becoming an invest, because he really wasn't that aware of it. Which is kind of funny, because I almost forgot he wasn't aware of it, because we've known about it for so long. It's kind of like with Michi. It's like, why don't you just... Haven't you been watching the show? He's an asshole. And it was an interesting episode. It was very strange and interesting. Like, I thought it was interesting of having Yuya come back and be Gaim, and him be the monster.
Real quick, people on Twitter pointed it out, but Yuya Gaim's catchphrase was the alternate selection of the quiz question, what's Gaim's catchphrase from, like, episode, like, 6 or something like that.
I didn't even notice that.
That was a really neat little throwback.
I didn't even got that.
If it wasn't for Twitter, I wouldn't have. I know that much.
But that was cool. An interesting choice, just because, you know, Yuya was the one that initially got the belt.
Yeah.
And it was just kind of very interesting, them fighting each other, because of, you know, that was Kota's first monster. That was his first kill, and it was his friend, and it was just interesting to see those places switched. And, you know, Kota accidentally slashing people to death. No, I swear I'm... Oh, crap. But yeah, that was really interesting. I never really doubted that Kota was going to make the right decision. So I was never like, oh no, he's going to join him. It was like, you know, it's going to be fine.
It's basically just reaffirming the character we already know. So... I like the episode, though. I like that a good chunk of it takes place just in Kota's mind. And I like a lot of the sort of throwbacks that this episode had to the earlier parts of the series. Not only the Yuya thing, which it was kind of neat to see him back and kind of like, this is if Yuya got the belt.
He wasn't
but also
fun.
Like... Gaim fighting, well, Kota, in the fountain and everything, and Kota stumbling around through the juice bar and kind of like that weird blurry vision was very reminiscent of the Hase episode.
It was almost verbatim.
Yeah, it was
verbatim in some sections.
Yeah, it was, which I thought was also just a really cool little touch.
It felt like kind of a culmination of all the stress he's had to deal with, like killing his friend, not being able to save Hase either.
And honestly, like, I thought it was pretty awesome how, even though Kota's been in this, like, battle with the Invest for so long now, him finding out that he is now an Invest and kind of... having everyone he cares for turn against him, there was like a true sense of terror coming from his voice. Like, he was legitimately afraid. It was almost like a little eerie how scared he was. He was like almost whimpering. He was begging. It was, I really liked it. It was a nice touch.
I love when he whimpered and begged for his life. No, sorry. I know what you mean, but I had to make a joke. I couldn't resist. It's like with the earth bending thing.
And, you know, added to it, like, when he finally came out of it and he untransformed, like, he was just drenched in sweat. It was obvious, like, it was taking a toll on his actual self. It was very clear how scared he was during this.
Yeah, it was really well done. And, you know, like we said, he ultimately came to the decision we knew he would. And he had a nice little monologue as he beat up the imaginary invest in his head. But, you know, I've made jokes about it before. It is obviously has some similar elements to Blade and O's monster stories, mainly Blade's. So I'm really interested and sort of cautious about the way it goes, because Gaim really hasn't let me down, but it's really close to Blade's monster story because of the concept is essentially the same, if that's the end result of him essentially having to break ties with everyone he cares about in order to save the world. And that, I mean, it's different circumstances, but like the same premise. Because Kanzaki had to move away from everyone because Hajime's like, psh, I'm living here. that's not how it went down. It was a lot cooler than that. But still, it'll be interesting to see where it goes. And I'm willing to give Gaim the benefit of the doubt that there could be twists and turns and stuff. But yeah, that's just one of the only things I'm very unsure about with this show. Is I like the way a lot of this episode and stuff was handled, but I'm still sort of unsure about the whole him becoming an invest story. Just because it has been done before, and Gaim has borrowed certain elements from other series, as you can tell, but they've always had a different twist on it. So I'm hoping that ends up being the case here with the end game.
This is the one that I see a lot of Gaim naysayers sort of pick out whenever they accuse it of being like a ripoff of earlier Heisei seasons. Which, you know, beforehand, when we didn't really know exactly where it was going, it seemed really nitpicky. But now it's like, man, it is really similar to Blade.
Yeah, because like what Coda's doing is the exact reason why I like Kenzaki so much, was that sacrifice he made at the end. So it's like,
I think I like it just a little bit better in Gaim, at least thus far. Maybe it's because I just kind of like Coda a little bit more.
I think Coda's build-up was better because throughout the whole series, he's more about protecting everybody, whereas Kenzaki wanted to protect people, but the main focus I felt near the end of that was him wanting to protect his friend, Hajime, which is why Battle Fight started again, is because he was wrong about the fight starting if he protected him. But yeah, there were definitely differences, but it's just they're heading to a very similar end.
Yeah.
And it's like, you can't resist making those jokes. Different from edgies, but yeah, we'll see where it goes. It's definitely going to be interesting. I was trying to think if there was much else going on. The only thing I can think of was that Baron and Michi, how did I forget his name, started fighting.
Yeah.
And I feel like Mark.
I noticed that there were some sparks coming off of Michi's belt.
I didn't see that.
Not like pyrotechnic sparks, but like actual put in, like it.
Yeah, I think he hit the Genesis driver there pretty bad.
Yeah.
In one of the blows.
He looks like he's aiming for it, because it looked to me like he hit it twice. So, I mean, that's. We obviously know that Michi's getting a new form, so.
Yeah. This is completely unrelated and a superficial comment, but that slow motion fight against the watermelon robots at the beginning of the episode was awesome. they just took them all out. I just randomly thought of that because I was trying to think what everyone else was doing.
I love that at the beginning of the episode, Coda and Ryoma walk in and they find all of the people kind of tied up and having their energy drained. And Coda's like, can you do anything about it? And Ryoma's just like shrugs. And then later on in the episode, Zack, Marika, and Kaito find it. And Zack's like, can we do anything about it? And Kaito's just like, this. And he kicks the machine and everything's fine. Kaito overthrew Redway's plan by kicking it.
Well, it's really funny because when that moment happened, I thought for a split second he was going to transform and like slash it because it needed that kind of strength to break the machine. And within that split second of me thinking of he was about to transform, he kicked it. So I'm like, oh, I guess a leg works too. But dude, that was pretty funny.
I love that so much. I love Ryoma's facial expression. He's like, no. And then, I mean, Kaito kicking it was amazing. Like, that's how I solve problems. Like, what, the shit don't work? You just kick it. Well, the shit is working, you kick it. So either way, kicking it solves everything. But it was just, it was such a Kaito thing to do. Like, I'll just beat it up.
Just going back to the how you know, we probably didn't need the point that, you know, Coda was always going to pick this option reinforced, but I like that the show actually kind of acknowledges that with Mai, because she even says, of course Coda is going to pick that option, of course he's going to sacrifice himself. It's so, like, that was always a given.
Yeah, mm-hmm. She was like the audience.
I do like the way Coda phrases it when he's finally standing up to right away at the end, where he's like, I'm not making a sacrifice, I'm just fighting for what I wanted from the beginning. Like, he doesn't really see it as, like, I'm sacrificing my life for my friends. It's, this is my goal. This is what I wanted from the beginning. Of course I'm going to take it.
This is the ending I always wanted. Don't rewrite my show. Is this show called Red Away? No, it's called Gaim. Hey, nobody got Gaim for that.
God.
I'm sorry. But yeah, it didn't really need to be reaffirmed, but at the same time, they also did have to deal with him knowing that this form was turning him into an invest and how that would change things. So it makes sense that they dealt with it, but we just didn't need to be stated again. Now if they do another one, then we'll be like, all right, settle down. We know what Coda's goals are. Is it going to be on next week?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
There's no more preemptions. What the fuck region is it? That one region's getting affected. But everywhere else in Japan isn't, so.
Thank God. Gaim's been under all these damn rumors all the time. Poor Gaim. It's like a picked-on celebrity. But that's good, so. Alright, so that's about it. Now it's time for Super Mega... Oh, no, wait, that's in 2 weeks. Pretty soon, Brian.
Pretty soon.
No, summaries don't exist anymore, so I don't know why we're going to do the
that's
jingle.
That's still going to be the jingle.
Yeah.
Even though summaries don't exist anymore. We're going to jingle it up anyway, because...
Just so I can use that sword for... So what if the theme's different next year? I don't know if I'll have something to play a theme song on.
We'll see.
We'll do Dino Charges start, and then I'll just still say Samurai Forever. It'll be a fake. I'll just say that in every season.
So anyway, it is Samurai Forever, so you're just going to keep doing it.
That's what Forever means. Sure. God, weren't they listening?
Yeah, that was a bit.
Yeah, you know, I was just helping them. So now it's time for...
Ramble time.
Yeah!
Yeah.
Think of anything.
That's good.
And we're just crying like babies. Pokemon was about nothing, but we did get some new Mega Forms. Brian's favorite Pokemon of all time, odd to know.
Mega Gay.
I actually kind of like his design, though. I have to say.
And then Mega Slowbro is just Slowbro trying to turn himself into a Slowking, but doing it wrong.
Like, he looks like he tried to do that and just is terrified now. Like, the look on his face is like, somebody help
oh,
me.
Oh god, how do I get myself out?
What have I done?
I'm looking at the picture now. He really does.
He's staring at his tail or something. I'm like, what are you doing? He turned into a top. But those were leaked, actually. Onno was the Gamescom reveal. And everyone's assuming that Slowbro was supposed to be the World Championships is this weekend. And last year they revealed Mega Kangaskhan. So everyone was assuming that Slowbro was going to be the reveal for Worlds. And so the Korean Pokemon page spoiled both of their big announcements. I like them. They're okay.
We're definitely getting some... I don't know how to put
it. Interesting choices?
Yeah.
Yeah, because those, like, are two Pokemon I would have never guessed.
Yeah, those.
Because Onino is just Chansey Part 2. Yeah, it's really weird. I'm looking forward to seeing what else we get, too, though.
I mean, I can understand the dragons, like Salamence, but yeah.
I mean, and things like Salamence and like Flygon, if Flygon gets one. There's rumors that Sharpedo and Camerupt are supposed to get some.
I do think it's cool that we're still getting a bunch of new ones, though.
Yeah, because they didn't have to, but they are, and I think that's neat.
And they're ones that aren't even, like, Hoenn, either.
Right.
Like Slowbro, yeah. And, yeah, they're not Hoenn, which is cool. I like that.
Isn't Audino our only Gen 5 Mega?
Yeah, there were no Gen 5 Megas before.
We need to get more of those. I hope we get, like, at least one more.
That's a little weird.
Yeah, it is. And it's such a weird choice. Like, if they do, like, more Gen 5 Megas, it's such a funny one for that to be the first one to come out. Because it's like, Audino's just Chansey, but without the egg. But actually, I think it's very different battle-wise, but I mean, it's in the show. It's just funny. It's such a, like, a non-combative Pokemon. But, yeah, that's pretty much it for Pokemon. I don't think there was any other Pokemon news or anything like that. That I can think of.
No.
Cora the Explorer? Sorry.
I was hoping that since Kevin was asleep, no one would sing that, but hey. That's cool.
Well, Kevin and I are the same person. Sorry. but yeah. Whatever I say will probably bleed into what last week's were because I watched both of them together. So was it the new episode where he sucked the air out of the lungs?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
I mentioned on Twitter that was something I had been waiting to see from an airbender since the series began, but you know, I was just explaining this to these guys yesterday.
It's okay. They haven't heard it before
with, you know, ever since they set up the concept of being able to bend air, I always thought it would be kind of nifty if they just bent the air out of a room or bent the air out of a person, I guess. But I mean, the airbenders were always so peaceful, and we only had like one, and then like,
and he was like 11.
His family. So it's really cool to see like kind of a much more vicious sort of airbending, and it's, I gotta say, like, suffocation is a horrid way to die. It really is.
Aerosol knows. He's a ghost.
Well, no, I'm just saying, like, it's supposed to be very agonizing and slow. But,
bro,
and
keep drilling it in.
You know what? I was honestly kind of impressed at how much they really showed of that scene. Just because it doesn't seem like something they would really be allowed to dwell on too long.
Yeah, it was a lot more than I anticipated.
Like, they were showing a close-up of her face, and her eyes were starting to, like, go red, and yeah.
It was pretty disturbing. And then they kind of had to be vague about what happened to her, but...
Yeah.
Like, still...
Her rule is no longer in place.
Like, she's fallen. She tripped. Whoops. It's like, what?
Something interesting that came out of it, though, was that
Anarchy.
Zaheer was not looked at as a villain for doing that. I mean, obviously from, like, the good guys, quote-unquote, point of view, but for everyone in...
The city.
The city, I can't think of its name.
Ba Sing Se,
they praised him. They thought he was a hero. When they saw the walls fall, they actually thought, like, that was great. That was a very victorious thing for them, which is such a weird thing to kind of see. Like, the villains are being praised.
Well, and you know what, though? Both of them weren't very good people. They were both antagonists from, you know, us following the hero, so it's like the villains were essentially fighting each other, so I don't necessarily feel bad, because she was pretty awful, too. And she didn't want total anarchy, but she was pretty terrible. I think she ate a bear, so she deserved it.
I mean,
it.
She was extremely oppressive. So, I mean, it's understandable why people would praise Sahir for doing that. Not that most of them even knew that it was Sahir, just that the queen had fallen.
Because he made that broadcast, he's like, I don't want you to know my name. It's Sahir. But my name's not important. praise me, but don't. My name does not matter. This is probably mentioned last week, but I'm glad that it makes sense now that why he knows about airbending. I just assumed that he was going to teach her how to airbend when they were going to kidnap her. So it explains why he was so well set up. I just wanted to mention that, even though it was probably last week's discussion. Let's see, what happened in this episode still specifically? They arrived on their little sand thingy.
Yeah. I mentioned the wall falling before, but I remember the wall of Ba Sing Se being such a big thing in the original series. Like, it took a lot of effort for it to originally fall. And then now he just does it by himself.
Yeah, he just magma bended it.
Which, you know, just, it was really cool. It was a pretty impressive thing. But I love the car ride there with the just the villain group and Bolin and Mako in the back, because they're just like chatting. It's very casual. And Bolin's just like, so what'd you do in jail? And what I love is how human the two that were talking to him were. They're like, well, I count the stars, or I used to make up funny stories about all of the guards around me. It was so, like, it was kind of a really nice moment, like a very pleasant moment, which is, again, so weird to see with your villains for the series. But I love it so much because it kind of humanizes them. It kind of makes them seem like much more quirky characters.
Yeah. In general, this whole group, I feel like, has been the most human, and I don't want to say relatable, but you can see them as people compared to most of the villains in the series, because, you know, Udalak was like, ah, evil power! And that was the same motivation as the Fire Lord. And Amon's goals were interesting, but he didn't really have much depth to him other than, my dad made me kill cows, so I'm just really mad. So, but these are, like, the most human ones we've gotten, even though what's his name? Here's goal is all like, oh, political anarchy. I'm like, oh, you're one of those. I thought we had something special. Now you're just a douchebag.
But yeah, I love the Bolin thing where he's like, oh, let me make up a story about you guys. He's like, okay, so you were raised by your sister. Your mustache grew in when you were 10. And I'm sensing something between the two of you. They just sort of look at each other. And the guy's just like, heh. 2 out of 3. Not bad. It's like, wait, which two?
Yeah, wait, I want to know. Don't cut away. Yeah, that was a good scene. And Korra, they made it back, and they ran into Lin, and apparently she met up with Zuko. They were just having tea, like, oh, well, we'll get here eventually. They just seem so lax about it. Korra's missing. Want to go out for tea? Sounds lovely. Let's do that.
Lin, Lord Zuko, and Korra's dad walk into a bar.
They have tea. End of story.
It's all very boring, actually.
And Bolin didn't metal bend. I love like the amount of times it made it seem like it was going to be that cliche, like, oh, under pressure, he finally metal bended, but he just never did. I wonder if he will ever get it. The world may never know. Except for we probably will. The world will know. So that was inaccurate.
Thank you.
But yeah, we're in the last handful of episodes now. Mm-hmm. Like 3 or 4. So it's going to be interesting.
3 left, I believe.
Oh, damn. I wish it was 4. Because it's more than 3.
It certainly but yeah, is.
It's been a really good season. Yep.
It has. It definitely has. And I can kind of understand why there were a lot more comparisons this season with the original season in terms of like tone.
Yeah.
Just because it's like a more widespread adventure, I guess.
Yeah, and they were traveling around, and then Bossing Se was there with that setting, and then the Dai Li brought back a lot of memories. And then it seemed like the original Team Avatar was getting kidnapped all the time. Somebody was getting kidnapped, so it definitely gave that vibe, which isn't a bad thing. And I hope that they did it because it was the plan and not because people bitched. But either way, I'm happy with the result. But I just hate that people bitch because people are bitches themselves. So,
from the looks of it, we'll get episode 11 this week, and then we're getting episode 12 and 13 on the 22nd.
Oh, together! Damn.
Yeah, which of course,
well, that's kind of good though.
Morphicon.
Ah, fuck Morphicon. I just want to watch Korra and Supernatural.
We can all watch Korra as a little powwow party. The
powwow?
And
nerd.
The English dub of Danball. Everything happens during Morphicon.
Just stockpile it and watch it all at the same time. Not like one right after the other, just all at the same time.
Okay.
That'll be fun. It'll be different stations. I'll go watch Danball because I like to watch Korra by myself, naked. But that's just me. But
you're completely interacting with Korra.
This new season's going to be different.
Kaido Jin, what are you doing here? Oh man, this is the greatest season ever.
Kaido Jin's going to be the companion for Series 9, confirmed.
10 out of 10 would watch.
I almost just asked if they were ever going to do that special where Bon returned, and then I realized they already did it. That's how memorable it was.
They already did. It was stupid.
They need to do another show. Stupid Gundam's still going. Granted, I think it's only a 2 series and we had 3, but still. It's really weird like that. Like, with our shows in America, it seems like you know when something's doing good when they just keep making more stuff out of it. Like SpongeBob. But in Japan, something will do good, and they don't make any more. Like Tiger and Bunny. Well, I mean, they make a lot of shit for it, but they haven't made a second season. It just seems like here, we'd be on, like, season 10 already. They would have gotten to that shit right away.
They were okay with a let's retell the anime movie and a sequel movie, and that's it.
Are either of them even out? I didn't even bother to check. After, like, the 5th repainted Tiger figure art, I just, like, left.
I have no idea, honestly.
Remember Zetman? Still don't know how I feel about that. His girlfriend turned into a giant tick. I'm not even making that up for a joke. That happened. I was disturbed. I'm like, what is this show? And not Sky High went crazy and shot up the place. Man.
The train is very angry that we're talking about Zetman.
The train is very confused about Zetman as well. I saw a DVD for it at like Walmart a couple months ago. I'm like, I don't know how to feel about this. And I just walked away.
So we did get a date for when TMNT returns.
Yeah, Kiefer heard us through the hive mind. And he let us know right away. I'm like, thanks, Queeps. He's got our back.
Always does.
It's September 26th, so that'll be a thing. That's like over a month away, though.
I keep forgetting that, like, the season's not done.
Yeah, it's really good. Like, people bitch about the Power Rangers schedule, but all over, the schedule is really random. Like, everything, almost all their shows are on a different airing schedule, which is really weird, because, you know, sometimes networks will have, you know, summer shows and main season shows that air at different times, but not where, like, every single show is on such a different thing.
I wonder if it honestly works better for them to do that or not.
I don't know. I mean, obviously they're not bankrupt, but...
I mean, it just doesn't seem like... As a network, that just doesn't seem like something you would want to do.
Yeah, I completely agree. Like, just start the show and end the show. I don't... Like, It's one thing to be like PR and take a summer hiatus, even though it is a very long time.
We know exactly when it's on and when it comes back and when it's not here.
Yeah, like, and with TMNT, there's not really any actual hiatus. We don't know when this is happening. Then all of a sudden, there's just no new episodes. And then all of a sudden, there is new episodes. And it just goes in and out, and then some weeks it's not on, and then this week it isn't, and then the next week there's like two episodes on for no fucking reason whatsoever. And it's so weird, but I mean, the show does well, so it works to an extent, but I can't see how that's a kind of like a good thing to do, I guess.
Remember how iCarly's last season was structured? It was like until the end, like it would disappear for 3 months and then there'd be a new special, but it was just an episode. Then another 3 months, new special. Like that's how Fairly Odd Parents airs, except they don't wait years. Like every 3 years, it's like a new Fairly Odd Parents episode releases. I'm like, what the hell? That show's still going? I had no idea that it was still ongoing other than the weird Drake Bell movies. Yep. Television.
We were scheduled to talk about the movie, but the person that wanted to talk about the movie most fell asleep. So we'll do it a different time.
It's been rescheduled.
There was a movie that we can talk about, however.
Guardians was fun. It was a good episode. I liked it.
I don't know enough about the franchise to really like go, oh my god, it was cool when that thing happened. Yeah. But no,
yeah,
it was
my experience is only from Earth's Mightiest Heroes.
Yeah, basically. But it was a fun movie. It's not like the Captain America, mostly serious sort of Marvel flick. It was fun, and I laughed a lot, and I like laughing clearly. So it did its job, and then Burt Macklin was in it. So
I thought it did a really good job of being like super fun, but also having like a lot of heart. And like, you really sort of got to know the characters at least on some level. Mm-hmm. So I thought that was good, especially for such a short amount of time that we were with them, essentially. So yeah, I liked it a lot, and there was a lot of really funny jokes, like the whole Kevin Bacon thing, and my Planet of Outlaws, like John Stamos, and this goes right over his head. Nothing will go over my head. I could catch it.
That's the kind of crap I'm talking about. Like, there was just a lot of like funny one-liners and ongoing in jokes that were really funny.
And like Rocket wanting to steal limbs. Like, he just made Andy go after that limb because he thought it was funny. And then when they're making like the final plan to attack the Death Star, he's like, "Well, I'm gonna need this guy's eye."
No, you don't.
And like part of the final battle was a dance off. I thought that was pretty funny. Yeah. Like, and just how this like powerful villain is just like, the fuck is happening right now? Like, he was seriously like, I just loved the whole thing. Like the concept of him dancing, trying to do a dance off, and like the concept of this villain like not knowing what to do, I thought was very funny.
Yeah, I thought for a second there we would get through an entire movie without Chris Pratt singing, but we got it right at the end.
Macklin, you son of a bitch. But yeah, it was really good. I liked it a lot, and I'm looking forward to it. They announced a second one before this one even came out, but I'm looking forward to seeing where it goes. Yeah, it was.
I was really pleased with how well it did, just because I really wasn't expecting much out of it. I mean, I love Chris Pratt, and I'll see whatever he's in, but I wasn't expecting much out of the movie. But
I wasn't either, to be honest. I mean, just based on what it was, and that's not saying that like Guardians is an awful comic franchise or anything like that, but. Turning what was essentially a kind of a relative unknown series into like the next big Marvel movie, I thought was was kind of weird, and like you said, I wasn't expecting a whole lot, but it...
Well, that and the... Well. Even aside from that, like, the trailers really didn't seem all that interesting to me. It just didn't really seem... It didn't catch my eye, really, until, like, press about it just blew up.
Like, it was
really nice to
really
see it do
well,
though.
And I like you said, I'm surprised. Like, it, to me, always, like, the draw of the other Marvel films was like, oh, I'm going to see that because it's Iron Man. Iron Man's awesome. Or anything like that. And, like, Guardians doesn't have that sort of, like, mainstream following. And so to see it do so well on, like, opening weekend, I think is really awesome.
Well, and, you know, I think Iron Man and Thor and stuff did have a better name recognition when they started. But at least, to my mind, because while I'm into all this stuff, I'm still sort of partially on the outside because I'm not super into the comics and, like, know a lot. So it's like... it's like those were heroes I knew of, but it was never like a huge deal to the mainstream, like a Batman or a Spider-Man or a Superman, where it was like a household name everywhere. So the Marvel movies kind of made them that. But Guardians still was a pretty ballsy move because it's got to be some sort of super pre-planning, because even though it's obviously in the same universe and there was a couple of different little connections like Super Boo and stuff, it's not leading. It has nothing to do with the next Avengers movie,
right?
The second one might not even either. I know they're like, oh, there's probably gonna be a crossover. I'm like, I actually just assumed that was gonna be Avengers 3, but it's got to be some super pre-planning. If I mean, it doesn't necessarily need to be, but since all the movies lead up to the Avengers, it's just a super ballsy move to do right now, at least from appearances, because all the other movies lead towards the Avengers. So, but. I'm kind of glad, though. I don't know whether it's... I'm not going to be unhappy if they do some sort of team up later. But I like having movies that aren't leading towards the Avengers. It's the same reason that I am entirely fine with Marvel not having the rights to the X-Men and Spider-Man movies, is because I like seeing movies that are just having different stories and not having them all having to lead to this crossover, if you know what I mean. Pretty sure I'm the only person that feels that way. Everyone's like, if we need to buy it all back, everyone needs to stand next to each other.
Honestly, I wasn't really sure going into this how much it would connect with the wider, like, movie universe. I knew it probably would a little bit, but like, I wasn't expecting to actually have Thanos just fucking show up, but I don't know. I get what you mean, though. I honestly don't really want Spider-Man interacting with anyone. For some reason, I like having him sort of off in his own little shit.
Doing his spider shit?
Yeah, his little spider shit. I don't know what he does. And, you know, I know that he was in the Avengers a couple times, but it's like, I usually think of the Avengers, I don't think of Spider-Man. I mean, but I don't need it. And I liked X-Men, especially after this last movie. I like that they got their own little thing going. We have plenty of stuff to do. They certainly have a very well thought out plan. It's kind of crazy how well everything is going for them. I think they started doing witchcraft. I'm not sure. But that's pretty much it for ramble time.
Oh, and the post-credits scene sucked.
Oh, with the duck?
I saw a lot of people really like it. I'm just like, that was a fucking waste of time.
I was just
You know, one thing I've seen people talk about, which I kind of agree with, is that, you know, all the post-credit scenes in the first wave was like sort of teasers to the Avengers and stuff. And then most of them have been comedic now. Which isn't a bad thing, but it's kind of a letdown after all the post-credit scenes were usually this sort of excitement for what was next. And it was funny when, like, Avengers had the Swarma thing, because that was the build-up. You know, that's what we were leading towards. And it makes sense that this final scene, with the exception of Superboo smiling, was, you know, them just eating. But now it's kind of a letdown. I mean, some the Iron Man, you know, having therapy with Bruce Banner was kind of funny, but I guess Caps was kind of leading towards something. But still, it'd be nice if they were all felt like they were leading towards the Avengers again.
I had one. I had no real attachment ever to Howard the Duck, so I didn't really care. Like, it was like, Okay, he's there. That's
at least it had one. I stayed all the way to the end of Spider-Man and nothing.
Oh, no.
I'm happy
you didn't say for my phone the end of while Spider-Man. Credits rolling to see whether or not there is actually going to be anything after that.
It's funny because I'm like super happy when I'm not in a Marvel movie because I know I can leave. Like when I saw Turtles, I was like, fuck yeah, I'm out of here, mid credits. Like it was like a party because I always have to pee so bad. And it's like when you know you can't go, it makes you have to go worse. Let's not talk about the bathroom. Stop, Dawson. But it's nice not having that. DC's going to have pre-credit scenes. It's just the trailer. But I don't know. But yeah, now that's it for ramble time, I think.
Yay.
Because now it is time for the Facebook question of the week for now.
Makes it sound like it's under a probationary period. Okay, so this week's Ranger color was black. So who's your favorite Black Ranger?
Let's find out. Christian Shear says, my favorite Black Ranger is Dylan because, I mean, look at that fucker. He's fucking gorgeous. He's like the definition of thug fabulous.
Oh, with his Widow Queen avatar. Kevin Phantom Thong says, I'm going to go with TJ. Get it? Because he wore black shirts. No, I'm just kidding. I have to agree with Fudo-kun. Dylan was a badass. He always looks cool, even when he was taking shits. I don't remember those scenes. What kinds of deleted scenes I'm finding about today?
Joshua
just
Ferris
pause for says, Kevin to read, and then just go to the next one.
Joshua Perry says, mine is Adam. Because he had the courage to use a damage power morpher.
Josh just looks really happy to be here.
Andrew Booth says, mine are RPM Dylan and Dino Thunder Tommy, because everyone else was annoying, unless you count Master Spoop, because blind, black, bat, badasses are always cool. Black is in the color, not as in the race, plus alliteration.
Are you saying black people can't be badasses? That's racist.
No, they can't fly.
Oh, well, that's true everybody. Jared Castiel says, I have to agree with Mr. Perry. There's always... Wait, damn it, I can't do the Castiel voice and read at the same time. It's not going to work. I have to agree with Mr. Perry. There it has to be Adam. I mean, come on, he was a freaking badass. That was when he did play Johnny Young Bosch.
Jan Baxter says, mine is Johnny Young Bosch. No, not Adam. I mean, in Once a Ranger, when JYB came back on the show and basically played himself. Seriously, what is with all of the Power Rangers now?
I was just
shortening their names to just like three initials. It's really dumb.
Blake Foster's going to do it next. It's going to be Blake Anthony Foster. Baff.
Baff.
He's gonna be like the Biff Tannen of Power Rangers for some reason. You want to take a Baff, Brew Crew? I don't know. I've lost it.
George Hansen Jr. says, Adam is my favorite Black Ranger for sure. I love seeing him come back on top. There we go. In Once a Ranger. He was fantastic in Zeo and Turbo 2, but when he came back in Overdrive, it gave him a wonderful way to earn his place in the sun. That's hot there. Don't go to the sun. You'll die. He's the only MMPR Ranger
Shut
who
up
makes
about
the top
sun.
For me. Takes the power of the sun.
I couldn't resist. Eric Brooks says, Dylan, hands down. My hands weren't up.
Jerry Gregg, TJ.
Take a minute, Aristotle. I know that was a long read.
He posted on August 10th at 7:46 p.m.
Mine says 8:46 because time's
up. Mine says 6:46, you liars.
Tommy, I hate Ty.
Tommy Lou says, my favorite Black Ranger would have... Why do I keep getting long ones? My favorite Black Ranger would have to be Will, because he steals things. No, but really, my favorite would have to be Tommy from Dino Thunder. We all have to agree, JDF is an immature man-child and a living, egotistic psychopath, but his character was very helpful to the other Rangers by mentoring them without being... By mentoring them about... Oh, about. I missed the word about. Being better Rangers and help them in their personal lives. Plus, he got in a coma and fought himself 3 times. Also, it would be nice to have JDF actually be invisible, so we don't have to deal with his shenanigans. Anyway, sorry about the ramble, and you guys are awesome, and keep up the good work. Okay, thank you. Don't laugh at
me. Will do.
J. Jonah Jameson says, I'm probably going to go choose Dylan, is that, that's how it's spelled, because of his growing relations with all the Rangers.
Whoa.
And he has tonight, he's Tenai Seven's brother, or maybe Adam because he's a frog. Well, either it's because Dylan fornicated with the entire Ranger team, or because Adam's a frog.
Okay. Corey Gong says, nothing is Tommy at me. God damn it.
Nothing is Tommy
at me. It's going to be a thing.
I'm sorry. Nothing is coming, bro. Tommy. Nothing is coming, Tommy, at the moment. But after taking a look at him, there will be enough to acknowledge at least one. Of Corcus, for the Jake of brevity, and to get this comment in Carlos to the due date without any trouble, after diligently, God damn it, searching for an answer, I decided on Jungle Fury Bat Ranger, because he's the only one I can't turn into a pun. Thank you. I wanted to do that comment justice. I did, but I couldn't. Because...
Slow clap. I imagine Aerosol just gets, like, headache pains throughout that whole thing, just seeing puns.
That was, like, made for Dawson. TKDT Gray says, my favorite is Adam returning to be MMPR Black. He becomes a character that he would have been when he was a actual cast member. He got his own morphing sequence. Who else got that? I used it in a video on my channel. Okay. My runners-up are Carlos Space and Danny Wildforce, because they were Hispanic Rangers, and we knew they were. That was inspiring to me, saying that I could be a Ranger too, and I didn't need to follow the cookie-cutter concept of a Ranger character. Prob, the only one who says this, lol.
I like how Brian was able to read better when he read like a robot.
Meet Matt.
It sounded so, like, concise. Edgar Joestar Quack says, Aerosol during the 90s episode where he turned black. Best answer.
Kiefer Marvin the Martin says, Dylan, he's so cool that he tells small children living in the robot apocalypse to screw off.
I'm getting tired of listening to you guys read those long ones.
Oh, thanks.
What the fuck one am I on?
Chris.
You're on Chris.
Okay. I'm on Chris.
From
okay.
HD. From HDU.
That's fine with me. Dylan, he pulls off the sexy robot cyborg thing way better than anyone else. Hashtag screw off, Mac. Poor Mac.
Screw
Jeff
because
Moses
he's a robot.
Get it off where? Jeff Moses says Dylan because he was chill.
Completely valid reason.
RJ Sills says Jake because I feel bad he can never finish a Froyo.
Froyo? Delano Matthews says Dylan.
You get right down to the point. I like it. Chenick Stewart says Dylan, because he had a cool story.
Cool story, bro.
Cool story, bro. Damn it.
Eric Beltran says, RPM Black Dylan. Nope, that's Dillion. Okay, for the win. He is cool. His own man. carry that equals the perfect man slash ranger. I don't know what you just said, but I'm okay with it.
I just realized a man ranger is a manager.
Whoa. Danger, danger. Joe Bailey says, Jake, because I want to ride his big black snake. Hashtag mega excitement.
Oh, I forgot about the mega excitement hashtag. Steven Ketchum says, personally, I really like Danny from Wild Force. He was a bumbling, love-struck muscle, and I really like that about him.
We call that a penis.
Bumbling, love-struck muscle. That is the penis.
See.
Okay. For mine, I also, like a lot of people, do pick Dylan because he was rude to children. No, but it's sort of such a generic, like, this is a character you're supposed to like, and then I liked him, but he was kind of a badass, and I like that he wasn't completely nice to kids. Like, that sounds like a really jerk reason, but so many of the Rangers, especially in the early years, were, like, too perfect, and I like that we had a Ranger that was kind of sarcastic and seemed more like a normal person, or at least a different variety of a normal person.
Yeah, no, I mean, I get you. And that's kind of my reasoning too. Looking back, there wasn't a whole lot of Black Rangers in the first place.
There wasn't.
I didn't realize Green there was all over the been as many. So my favorite is gonna end up being Dylan too. That's not to say I don't like Adam, because I really do like Adam, but he didn't get to do a whole lot until he became Zeo and Turbo Green. So, I mean, Adam as a Black Ranger was just kind of there. So as much as I like Adam's I don't really want to give that credit to him.
And two of his most standout moments were when he returned briefly for another series.
Yeah. So I didn't really want to end up giving it to Adam. And there just wasn't really a whole lot else. I mean, I did enjoy Tommy in Dino Thunder. I think that was probably one of my favorite times of seeing Tommy, just because it was so different than how he was in the past, really. But, I mean, Corcus, you don't really have anything. I always found Carlos annoying. I never liked Danny, and Will's a douchebag. And then Jake's too new, so he doesn't get credit for anything. So it's more or less process of elimination, really. Though, props to Doggy Kruger, who is technically a Black Ranger, but will be classified somewhere else. But if he counted, he'd be my pick.
He'll be in the classified files. Okay. Arisol, you have one?
Najee.
Because he's your hero.
Yeah.
He's the wind, beneath our wings.
Everyone has a hero. I don't judge.
What can I say? I mean, you guys pretty much covered it. It's Dylan, if you haven't guessed. It's like Brian just said, there's not a lot of Black Rangers. And Dylan had the most character out of them. He had the most story as well. It was actually really cool that a good chunk of RPM focused on the Black Ranger. That's not to say that it only focused on Dylan, but still.
Nice change of pace.
Yeah. I'm getting interrupted by my own train.
Arisol cannot catch a break.
My train's pretty quiet today, so.
I thought we were friends, bro.
Train, you kill my enemies and you keep me alive. I thought we were cool. I really don't know what more to touch on. I really enjoyed his story. I thought it was great. Though it was very much Andros and Caron for his relationship with Tenaya, but
pretty much.
I don't have too much more to say. He stands out amongst the crowd of like five guys who he was really chill. Didn't do much.
It would have been funny if you would have said, I don't know what else much else to say. You guys pretty much covered it, so the answer is obvious. Corcus. his name makes me think of a wine cork, so it's like, what more do you need? Or the word porpoise. But
he's a cork porpoise.
Oh, there's another joke in there somewhere. Kevin's answer is obviously Zach.
Yeah, clearly. Because he would have gone on some really long answer.
He's the ultimate Black Ranger because he's black. Ignoring Will.
Will did the same thing. Yeah.
But technically,
and
Will...
And he's missing a finger.
Okay, that puts him over the edge. That makes him... That just makes him
like,
the ultimate
was the glove
Ranger.
Like, when he morphed, did he grow a finger? Or was it just, like, empty? What? What? That's not mean.
Every time you made a... Didn't you notice every time he made a fist, that part of the glove stuck up?
You know, the horrible part is I never thought about it. When he morphed, he had five fingers.
Morphing is miraculous.
It makes you taller, it makes you less fat, gives you extra fingers. Morphing solves everything.
You heard it here, kids. Do morphing.
Let's morphing.
Oh, man. That sort of filled out what Kevin's long joke answer would have been.
It devolved into the morphing grid being a drug.
Yeah. Morphing grid's a hell of a drug.
Because now it's time for final thingies. MP3, followed by Goldar having a final thingy MP3.
Final thingies!
I have a thingy, and it's not final!
We should have gotten Goldar to say final thingies, or I guess that Goldar would have been better than Magna Defender, because you have to drag it out, and I can't imagine Magna Defender holding it. like that.
Anyway. So like we said before, next week is Morphicon. The show will be really strange because we'll all be in the same room. Might try to live stream it if I can figure out how that crap works. If not, just expect
watch us in the hotel room as we eat pizza on the floor.
You're gonna have to hide my face.
Just get to push the alpaca hat down. Just so it covers like your eyes and like part of your nose, like Batman. You can be Alpaca Man. Almost Alpaca Man.
Have you been reading my dream journal?
Yes.
They are the greatest animal.
You've been listening to the RRR podcast, and you have no idea the kind of pain we're in.